Favorite way to wake up. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, with Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, and Kevin Ingram.
Tannehill motions Smith to the left. They go toss that way. Henry trying to turn it up. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. He's in the end zone, standing up. Touchdown! Titan!
Just like I said, you run a toss play. Perfect.
Derrick Henry, 11 yards to pay dirt, and the lead is 9.
During the play, the runner lost the ball prior to crossing the goal line. There's a full recovery by the defense. It's a touchback. Please just set the game clock to 15 seconds.
It's a touchback. So Gordon fumbles
to the 20.
Correct, touchback. Tannehill takes a knee.
Wow!
And the Titans,
yes,
get it done. Miraculously, the defense holds from the 1 foot line, getting the ball out, and Casey recovering it in the end zone for a touchback. Final score, Tennessee 23, Los Angeles Chargers 20. What an ending, what a victory, and 3-4 never felt better.
Indeed. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone. Highlights from yesterday's 23-20 Titans win over the L.A. Chargers at Nissan Stadium. Heard Coach Dave McGinnis on the call there a moment ago. He's going to join us in just a second. Brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Our show is powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors right here in Nashville. When professional garage door installation and repair are important for you, they're a family-owned and operated business. Go to allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville for more info. One thing from last hour, got to get to our Lee Comedy Hot Performer to start the hour. Go ahead, Mark, and then Coach Mack is going to join us here in just a second.
I have co-winners our Lee Comedy Hot Performer. My first one is the Titans fans in the end zone who made noise and, you know, really made a difference in that goal line stand. A number of Titans players paid tribute to those fans as literally being the 12th man after the game. So, you know, they are certainly one of our Lee Comedy Hot Performers. And also, Big Ten game, Minnesota up 27-0 against Rutgers. You would think, what could go on in this game that would be so momentous? Well, it was the entrance of Casey O'Brien to hold the snap of the extra point. Casey O'Brien is a four-time cancer survivor. It was an incredibly emotional moment. He came off the field and embraced Gophers coach PJ Fleck, and I got to admit, I kind of teared up watching it. It was a neat story. So good for Casey O'Brien, who was just an absolute champion of a human being, and also providing us with such a great moment on Saturday. Those are our Lee Comedy Hot Performers. Lee Comedy, serving Middle Tennessee families and businesses since 1944. All you need.
That was very cool. I saw that as well. Coach Mack is here. Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage and an affordable price. Farm Bureau Health Plans will coach you through it. Got you covered. Coach Mack, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I need all the Farm Bureau plans I've got for health care after that game.
need a paddle kit, I think.
I am telling you. That's why we're in it. That's why you do it. And that's, and Mark, you know, complimenting the fans, and the players complimented the fans after it. Look, that whole lower bowl was outstanding, you know, and the upper people too. But that end zone, I mean, that was loud. Of course, you know, we do the broadcast with the window wide open. We're wide open. We're into the crowd. I mean, it was loud. That's why you do this, and that's why you come to the games, and that's why you're a fan, and that's why you play it. Well, that was fun.
Players talked after the mentality, and of course, you being a defensive guy and a defensive coordinator, you get it. Every inch, every blade of grass, Kevin Byard was talking about this after the game. He said, we were not going to give an inch. We were talking about this in the huddle, that we're not giving up. And, you know, Blaine, you know, was saying, earlier in the show, and me too, that you play that scenario 100 times, Coach Mack, and probably 99 times the Chargers get in the end zone. But this is why you don't concede anything, and the Titans showed that. And, you know, Coach Lynn said after the game for the Chargers, he goes, if we can't get a yard, we don't deserve to win the game.
Yeah, the mentality of defensive players in the National Football League, and Kevin Byard was 100% right. And Blaine, you know, it knows this. And if you've been involved in it, and especially on that side of the ball, all you really want is just let us play one more play. Let us play one more play because we can make something happen with one more play. And down there, you talk about being in a conflict situation at the time because the thing that I was concerned about, I was not as concerned about them running the ball in because we'd been doing a pretty good job of knockback defensively up front, and those guys were flying. But the play action pass down there is just brutal to defend.
And he burned them once.
Well, yes. I mean, defensively, if you're in goal line defense and they run play action pass and the keys that you have to read and as quick as it happens and especially as adept as Phillip Rivers is at all of that, I mean, that defensive stand was incredible. I've been in over 650 NFL games in my life. I'm not sure I've ever seen as dramatic a goal line stand as that. And I'm serious. I was trying to think last night because, you know, some people called this morning. I did some radio shows out of town, and they were asking, well, what, you know, have you ever been involved in one like that? And I can't think of one that dramatic.
Yeah, I said if that were a playoff game, they'd be writing books and doing documentaries on it.
No, absolutely, because that was the whole thing. And Mike Keith, you know, and I are up there, and Mike, you know, he's the best. You know, looking at it and calling it. And the officials on that last play, they gave us no indication of anything that had happened.
I know. I never saw a signal that they called anything.
There was not a signal.
Touchdown or stop or fourth down.
There was not a signal. And that's why we were struggling up there to try to find out what happened. And then when Jarrell comes running out of there with the ball, but how many times have you seen defensive players pick a ball up and take off running with it and they call it back and say, you know, so that was a very interesting about 2 minutes there that everybody was going, what is going on?
And the officials had to see, the replay official had to see the ball coming out to rule it a fumble. All right, I want to ask you about the game within the game there at the end, about the option to use the 10-second runoff and then not to use the 10-second runoff. And, you know, Eckler goes in, you know, for the touchdown or the apparent touchdown, and they bring it back out, and then they run that, and then they give Vrabel the option, you know, when they went to replay, do you want a 10-second runoff? He said, we don't. We're going to use a timeout, thinking, okay, they're going to probably score. We're going to get the ball back. We need as much time as possible. But the second time, when Gordon went in and lost control of the ball, and they ruled he didn't get in, given the option to run off 10 seconds or use another timeout, Vrabel said, run off the 10 seconds because I'm betting on my defense.
Well, that's exactly what happened because, and especially, too, the time had shrunk, too, you know, for the second one. And so that's what he did. I mean, he bet on his defense. The first one, you know, he's saying, you know, I want a little more time left possibly. If they score immediately, at least I'll have a chance to do something because the thing, you know, your mindset flips the other way. I mean, come on, guys. All these fans here in this city, all of us in this city, this guy sitting right over here across from us, I mean, you talk about playing right to the Music City Miracle. Just look, I mean, you're never out of it as long as you have another play, either offensively, defensively, special teams. You're never out of it. And that's,
you got to believe it, though.
You got to believe it. You got to believe it, and it's got to be in you. The players have to believe it. They have to believe in their coaches because coaches always preaching it. But it has to be a belief, and it was yesterday. It was, and it worked, and that goes a long way to just – this is a solid locker room anyway, but it solidifies what you know, the hard work pays off.
How much do you think winning a game like that, Coach Mack, then we hadn't talked about this. You just made me think about it. Kind of changes the dynamic of which direction this team goes because I wouldn't be shocked if they went on a nice little run and the team just looked different from this point forward. Whether they lose the game or, you know, win the game, they're just going to look different because they're going to play with a confidence. They had football guys was on their side yesterday. That stuff doesn't happen.
It doesn't, and you're right. But this game is so emotional anyway, and you know that. Okay. I mean, you made a living in it. I made a living in it for 30-plus years. It's so emotional, and it's built on stacking belief on top of belief, and that yesterday. Look, let's go back to the decision of let's go even further back. Let's go back to the decision of John Robinson to sign Tannehill. Let's go clear back to that.
Well, trade for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go clear back to that. Okay, and then let's go to the Mike Vrabel's decision to bench a quarterback that's been the starting quarterback for 4.5 years here. Mm-hmm. Because what did he say? And he's as honest as he's always honest when he talks about his decisions. He said, we needed a spark. He was a player at a high level, and he knew this is a good football team, but it was lacking just a little bit of juice. And so he makes that decision. And then let's give credit to Ryan Tannehill and to Arthur Smith and that whole offensive team. You know, Ryan Tannehill was sticking his back foot in the ground and letting it go. And that put a belief in those receivers. That put a belief in the offensive line, because now all of a sudden, you know, the ball's coming out on time. Now they're protecting the cylinder better. All of that stuff comes together.
Started looking different, didn't it?
It looks a lot different, but the word that you just said when you asked that question, belief, is a huge, huge thing in the National Football League.
We have to then talk about, what did you think about Tanny? I know you thought he played well, but what were some of the things? Explain what you guys were sitting up there talking about during the game and what y'all saw and you know, throwing on those tight windows and zinging it everywhere all over the place. I want to gauge how fast he was throwing some of those balls, man.
Timing. It was timing and flow. It was timing and flow, because you could see that he was in a rhythm. And the other thing he was doing, Blaine, you played defensive back in this league for a long time at a high level. He was throwing them open because they were covered. They were covered, and he was still giving them a chance to make a play on the ball. He trusted two things. He trusted his arm, and he also trusted the receivers to go get it. You know, not to passively say, well, you know, I'm covered. This is going to be a tough catch, to go get it. And so all of those things, we start stringing those types of things together. I thought there was a moment, and I said it on the broadcast, because when I'm looking up there and getting a feel and seeing it, I thought there was a moment when he got backdoored twice, you know, when Bosa was coming around. I thought he was holding it a tick too long.
Oh, right.
Just a tick too long. Mm. But he readjusted. He recalibrated the clock again, and I thought that was huge in the game.
Coach Dave McGinnis is our guest. We're talking about the Titans' win over the Chargers yesterday, 23-20. You want to hop in? 615-737-1045. Coming up, chance to get qualified to win $1,000. I have that keyword coming up for you in just a moment. More Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Blaine, first, in a word about Eurofix, please.
Yes, if you've ever been frustrated with who've ever worked on your vehicle because you weren't allowed to go back to the service bay and talk to the technician to show them the problem. Then you have to bring it back a second or a third time to get the same thing fixed. I don't know about you, but that's really annoying. Blaine Bishop here to tell you about Eurofix. Eurofix takes the irritation out of auto repair on European makes. Eurofix is happy to take you back to the service bay and back of the shop so you can talk to the technician, get to know him personally so he understands your problem, so you don't have to bring your vehicle back a second or a third time. And oh, by the way, while you're back there in the shop, you won't find any oil puddles, dirt, trash, or grime all over the floor to ruin your clothes and shoes. And if you felt lied to by other repair centers, come on over to Eurofix. It's a place you can trust. You don't need an appointment like others insist. Just drop right on in. Eurofix provides you with a free rental car with every repair, plus a 3-year, 36,000-mile nationwide warranty on every repair so you drive with confidence. So for Eurofix nearest you, give them a call. 844-EUROFIX. That's 844-EUROFIX. Or you can check them out online at myeurofix.com.
On 3rd and 14, here comes the pressure. Quick throw to the middle, Jonnu Smith. Breaks out of a tackle, driving forward, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, and down just short of midfield. What a play, Jonnu Smith! King finally tackled him, but Jonnu Smith does it on his own.
8:19 the time on 104.5 The Zone. Coach Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio is with us, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You want to hop in, it's easy, 615-737-1045, or reach us on Twitter at WUZ1045. The goal line stand that preserves a 23-20 Titans win yesterday against the L.A. Chargers. Gets you, you know, there's such a difference, too, between 3-4 and 2-5. We'd be having a different conversation.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely. And at this stage of the season, you know, if you start off your season and in that first quarter and you're starting trying to stack wins to catch up, I mean, every game is critical. Those were two desperate teams yesterday playing. Two AFC teams that had pretty good aspirations going into this season and found themselves at that point. And those were two desperate teams. That's why it had a feel as far as to the magnitude of every play, a little bit like a playoff game, because you knew that everything was going to cascade onto the next week. Because 3-4 and 2-5, just as you said, Kevin, it's a huge, huge gap between those two records.
Well, speaking of something that was really huge, I thought the fake punt was pivotal. I mean, they got 3 points out of that. Man, that was early in the game. I know we all look at the goal line stand, which is awesome in itself, but we wouldn't have got those 3 points.
And you know why it was so effective in my mind, Blaine? Because people are expecting now, because as proficient as Kern is at, mm-hmm. at putting it inside the 10-yard line, your opponent thinks, well, here's what we've got to do. We've got to be ready, to be able to field this ball, because he's not going to punt it into the end zone. I mean, this guy's the best in the league at putting the – so that aspect of it is there. I mean, it took me by surprise. I thought it was a great call.
You wait weeks to set that up, don't you?
You do. Yeah. I mean, and again, I thought it was a great call by Craig Aukerman. It was a great call by Mike Vrabel, and great execution, sure. too. Mm-hmm. Brett Kern, you can't mention his name enough during this first 7 weeks as to what he means to this football team. I mean, he really is a weapon.
Well, he really is the MVP thus far to this point in the season.
Yes. That's he is a weapon, and he's a field position flipper, and plus then everybody else starts to be worried about fielding those punts inside the 10, and then they pop one like that. That was big, especially at that point in the game. I mean, it was big just for to get some momentum and get some juice going.
Mm, well, one more last question, because I know we got a couple people want to talk to you. Man, what do you think about this guy we drafted in the first round? Somebody named Simmons?
Oh, God.
What do you think about him?
That's crazy.
To play him, they know more than we do. They're training him, the training staff, the coaches, and making all that decision, administration. And man, the sky's the limit right now, man. Mark's been all over it, but until you see it, can you believe it? Oh, man, if it's just the beginning, I can't imagine what it's going to look like come week.
I'm at practice every day, and I can't say what goes on at practice.
He's a man.
But I'm going to go back and refer to Joe Green, who was my defensive line coach for 8 years when I was a head, when I was the head coach of the Cardinals. And we would go out and look at defensive linemen. And he would look and he'd look and he'd say, Coach Mack, anytime we can go out and find a bear walking on two legs, we need to get him. Okay?
Because
he was one, okay? Yeah. And he was one and he knew the value. And when you – those guys – and I've been around some really good ones, at that. But this guy – it doesn't take. I've watched the draft. I've graded the draft for 34 years, and when you put that Mississippi State film on, all of a sudden you went, "That's a dude." Mm. And then when you watch him in person, and plus, what a wonderful kid he is. I mean, think of how hard he had to work to get back to what he was, and he's so grateful that Amy Adams Strunk and this organization, John Robinson, Mike, they took a chance on him. He was so grateful for it. And then to come out and do what he did, I was so happy for him, but I'm really happy for this football team because he's going to make a difference. He's going to make a difference.
Yeah. Who would you compare him to, like his style or maybe former tight end? I don't know. Who?
Here's
they were talking about Albert Hensel, but Albert was a different type of player. Were strong as heck, but who does he remind you of?
He reminds me of a guy I had in Arizona, Eric Swan.
Oh, Eric Swan's in that.
I'll take that.
Yeah, and
he was a pretty good player.
No, he was a bear walking on two legs.
Let's get to a couple calls here. Hey, Mike in Cookeville. Good morning. You're on the zone with Coach Mack.
Hey, Coach.
Mike, how are you doing?
Great. I want to commend you and the players for taking notice of what the fans did yesterday. I'm in 127. I was at the goal. I watched that play. I seen the ball come out.
Nice.
And we were ecstatic. And the other thing I want to say is the true season ticket holders that were there yesterday were there. And these guys that sell out for these other teams, they need to quit selling out and showing up, because it does make a difference, and you guys recognize it.
Mike, first of all, thank you for being a season ticket holder and a loyal fan. And look, since I've come back, you know, in this role for 3 years, I get to go out in the public a lot and interact with our fans. Fans, the Titan fans are absolutely fabulous. That yesterday, that was so loud. You heard me say earlier on this broadcast today that Mike Keith always has done since he's been here. He wants that booth, those windows wide open. We are right there in it so we can feel it. We can be involved in the emotion of what's going on. It just makes the experience just much more real for our listeners. And that was so loud. You guys were so loud, and it was a constant roar. It really was down there. And I can tell you this, all the years of coaching, and Blaine sitting right over here across from me can tell you this, that makes a difference to players on the field. That makes a difference to players on the field, especially defensive players in a situation like that, because they generate energy from your energy. So great job. Thank you for the call, and thank you for being there. And a shout out to all the fans that were a big part of this win.
Get to one more. Bob, good morning. You're on the Zone. What's up?
Yeah, this might be a simple answer, but I'm confused why that last play was reviewed at all, because they didn't call it a touchdown. They didn't call it a fumble. So why was it even reviewed?
Bob, because that is a great point. And Mike Keith and I were sitting up there, and there was no call made. There was no signal made. Nothing happened. So the review official upstairs is the guy that had to say, we need to look at this. But there was nobody made a signal. Nobody made a signal as far as no good. Nobody made it. No beanbag was dropped for a fumble. There was no call made on the field. That's why it was reviewed.
And why'd they stop the clock? I mean, is that part of it too? Just because they were just like, we need to stop everything?
Yes.
I didn't hear a whistle or anything. And
Morgan, there was no whistle. There was nothing.
If it was not ruled a fumble, then they would have, I rewatched it. I think they would have rolled the clock back to 3 or 4 seconds, and then they would have started the clock, and the Chargers would have had the option to clock it and kick a field goal or go for the win.
Yes, I mean that's what would have happened. But then the other thing is, then it's the touchback, and they put it back out on the 20 with 15 seconds left. Okay, so the whole thing was, I mean, I've been involved in a lot of games, and I feel like I know the rules pretty well, and Mike Keith does too. And we're sitting there going, but when there's no call made, I mean, you're completely in the dark, even though you're looking straight at it.
8:28 the time on 104.5 The Zone. I feel like I'm in the dark a lot of times. Coach Mack, though, brings it every Monday morning right here on our show. Powered by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. More of the show coming up next on The Zone.
And Rivers to throw it. Stepping up. Zach! Big Jeff! Jeffrey Simmons! His first career sack.
104.5 The Zone, 8:35 the time, the Wake Up Zone. Showing a love for Jeffrey Simmons, and it's good work in his debut yesterday for the Titans. Welcome back to the Wake Up Zone. We are powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, and we have Coach Mack with us. Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Wesley Woodyard, by the way, will be our guest a little over 10 minutes from now.
So nice.
Stay tuned. Let's get back to some calls for Coach Mack. Chris, good morning. You're on The Zone. Welcome in.
Good morning, guys. Morning, Coach Mack. How you guys doing?
Chris, good. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Coach, this is an honor. One of my bucket list items is to sit down and have a cold one with you one day. You're just one of the nicest guys out there, and when I hear that you're going to be on the radio, I turn it up a little bit louder, and I get a smile on my face.
Well, Chris, it's very kind of you. I love doing it here. I love doing it. Thank you.
So my question is this. I'm sitting with my father-in-law yesterday watching a game. He's a former Chargers fan. He just owned them since they moved to Los Angeles. And so he roots for the team that's playing against them. And at the end of the game, he leans over and asks me, what about that 10-second runoff? And I actually could not explain it to him because I don't understand it myself. Well, if under 2 minutes, there is a challenge, and that challenge is changed, and they give you a 10-second runoff. What is the reasoning behind that? What's the strategy behind it? What's the reasoning behind that? I don't understand why you would run off 10 seconds because, shocker, the refs got it wrong on the field.
and it gets changed.
All right, Chris.
So if you, I'll hang up and listen to your explanation, Coach. Appreciate it.
I'm going to tell you exactly the rule, okay? And I'm not going to only tell it to you. I'm going to read it to you. Because one thing that I did in all the years I was with Jeff Fisher, I learned the rules. I learned the rules. So here you go. What causes a 10-second runoff? The following situations result in a 10-second game clock runoff if the team in possession of the ball is trailing. That happened. Or the game is tied and the team in possession of the ball has no timeouts remaining in that half or overtime. If up to 10 seconds remain in the half overtime game, the period game will end by such runoff. That's why the 10-second runoff. Mm. That's where it is.
Take that for data.
And there you have it. Thanks for calling in.
But so many different twists and turns in this game yesterday. If you got a question for Coach Mack, 615-737-1045 and on Twitter at WUZ1045.
Yeah, real quickly, I guess, you know, with Jayon Brown out, man, how much do you think that impacted them guarding Hunter Henry? I mean, early in the game, I was getting nervous. I was like, man, we're not going to be able to stop this guy.
The week before, Hunter Henry was a force in that ball game against Denver for them. And you knew it because, you know, he'd been hurt and he came back and you saw that. And so you knew Hunter Henry was going to be an issue. He's an issue for anybody to cover, okay? Mm-hmm. And so most of the time what you have to be able to do with those types of players, and you know, I mean, when you defended the Gonzalez's of the world and, you know, all those types of guys that are such mismatches down the field, I mean, you've got to – if you're gonna play over and under on them or if you're going to vice them, if you're going to single them up, you better be getting some pressure quick, you know, to give your coverage people help. He's a mismatch problem. And I'm going to tell you somebody else that's a mismatch problem that is, and Mike Keith said this in the booth, and he was right. That Eckler kid, okay, Eckler kid as far as running option routes and then just take off and then splitting him out there in an empty set and trying to get that matchup on a linebacker, that's a tough go too. They used him a lot like they used to use Sproles when he was there with him. And so those types of matchups that's a game within the game, they make a big difference.
You also saw, especially yesterday with the Simmons debut, but also David Long, coming in and making good a play point. Or two at linebacker.
Yeah, and a good point because he had to, Wood was in there, thank God for Wesley Woodyard. I mean, you can't manufacture experience in this league. And a leader that he is and what he means to this football team, I mean, I'm a big fan. All right, now, when Jayon's out and is hurt, now Wood's in there. Wood got nicked a little bit in that game for a minute, and he had to come out, and all of a sudden Long has to go in, and then what that necessitated was when Long had to go in the ball game, then Wood had to take his helmet off, give it to Rashawn Evans because Wood had the green dot, had the communications on. We'll talk to him about that. You know, had to give his helmet to Rashawn because Rashawn now has to call the defense.
Well, what if it didn't fit?
What? You know what?
What the what?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. I mean, it happened like that. Yeah. You know, when you think about those types of things, you know, that go on because you can only have one green dotted player on the field. Mm-hmm. On your team, and that's a part of it.
Does he give him the actual helmet, or does he have another helmet that he puts on?
We'll ask Wood. We'll ask Wood.
He was saying that he gave him his helmet.
Yeah, we'll ask.
We'll see how that could work.
We'll ask Wood what happened.
Did it fit? What did you do?
One of the things that did bother me yesterday, and it sort of bothered me about this defense, is the lack of sacks. Now, there's always, even in the absence of sacks, there's pressure on the quarterback, and they did put that on Rivers yesterday, but still. At the end of the day, they only had one sack. Does that concern you at all about this unit? Because their bottom line is pretty impressive, and that's how many points they give up every week.
Yeah, I take pressure first. Pressure and hitting the court. But look, look at Phillip Rivers throughout his career at the number of sacks he has not taken because that unconventional throwing motion he's got, you know how fast that ball's coming out of there? It's like used to be – I've been in this long enough. I've game planned and played against Marino. You know, Marino would stand back there. Marino couldn't run out of sight in 2 days, okay? But
I always said he ran like C-3PO when he
– As quick as that ball was released, I mean, you could get the best takeoff in the world. It's kind of like blocking a punt. If the snap is on time and the two step is on time, you can be clean and can't get there. That's a lot of Rivers stuff.
Steven, good morning. You're on the zone. What's up?
Hey, I just wanted to get you guys' thoughts on Vrabel's decision not to challenge that spot late in the game. I'll hang up and listen.
Steven, look, everybody, you are never, ever going to get that overturned in the middle of the field when there's a big pile of humanity there. The only chance you ever have, you know, and I did this for years because, you know, when I wasn't a head coach and I was assistant head coach, I was in charge of all challenges and replays in the booth, you know, to say we need to challenge this, we need to challenge that. You're never going to get that type of a spot challenge reversed because they can't tell where it was. When they come running in and one guy spots it with his left foot and one guy spots it with his right foot, you know, from opposite sides, you have to have a clear and definite look as far as to that they made the line to gain. The only place on the football field you're ever going to be able to really see the line to gain if it's on the sideline. Okay, if it's on the sideline, you've got a definite point of demarcation where you can look and see those types of plays in the middle. You will never, ever get overturned.
Coach Dave McGinnis is with us this hour, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. This is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Wesley Woodyard from the Titans is coming up next. He'll join us in just a moment on 104.5 The Zone.
The runner lost the ball prior to crossing the goal line. It was a full recovery by the defense. It's a touchback.
8:49 the time, 104.5 The Zone. Final call from yesterday as the Titans defeat the Chargers 23-20, holding on at the goal line. We have Coach Dave McGinnis in the house with us alongside Mark Howard and Blaine Bishop. I'm Kevin Ingram, and joining us by phone, Titans linebacker Wesley Woodyard, who got the big knockaway that led to the fumble at the end and preserved the victory. Wesley, congrats and good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. Kind of take us through that final play and what you saw as you got the knockaway there from Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, we were in a defense that put kind of like two edge defenders on the edge, play for sweeps, to play for the passing game. But I just knew, like, something was telling me, like, I just shoot off the line, the tight end's going to block down, he's not going to block you. And at the time, I was just like, man, let me get my hand across the ball and try to pull him away from the goal line. And just so happened, as soon as I got my hand on the ball, he dropped it. I was able to force the fumble. So, man, got a chance to see my dog beat Jarrell, make the game-winning fumble recovery. So it was funny, man, because I told him after the game, I said, hey, I'm glad that I could finally help you and benefit you in making a play. Because we always joke, man, that KC number 99 and 59, let's make all the plays. So that's my boy, man. I was happy to see that moment.
What were the emotions like for you guys and the Chargers? You know, had the touchdowns taken off the board twice, and you had to keep trying to defend that little small area and get those stops over and over.
That's the thing about the NFL. It's a game of inches, and the only play that matters is the play that you're in right now, the one that you're living in. So you just got to keep fighting and never give up, man. You know, there's some things that you can't control, and that's what makes this game so great. You know, you have great players that go out there and make plays, and when they need to be made, and that's what we were able to do yesterday, man. Our players made plays. Our offense came out, moved the ball down the field. So it was an overall team victory yesterday.
Wesley Woodyard is our guest, the Titans linebacker, after the big win yesterday over the Chargers.
Hey, Wesley, I don't want to harp on that play, but have you ever been involved in a play like that? And then talk a little bit about how much energy that you get from the fans right there down in the end zone.
Actually, man, that's my third one I've had in my career, game-winning strike. I'm a game-winning trip. You know, I had one. Just Google the Adventures of the Thumb Snapper. Somebody made a funny spoof of a Marion Barber strip foamer that I had back in the day. It was funny, but, man, that was some great energy, man, in Nissan Stadium. That's what it takes to be dominant. Week in and week out, you know, we need our fans to support us no matter what. And that's what it takes, man, to get all our fans in that stadium pumping, jumping, rocking to the last second takes off the stands. And you know, I'm glad that I could help deliver that win with me and my teammates.
Well, let alone, you know, you made the calls fumble and Casey picked up the fumble. But talk about Simmons. He redirected Gordon there to make him go slide out a couple holes down the road, and that bought time for you guys. Nobody's really talking about that, but that really was the pivotal play because he got depth and got into their backfield with their own man pushing them back, bull rushing. Talk about his impact, not just on that play, but when he was out there, did you feel his presence and what he was doing?
Are you speaking of Gordon's presence or
Simmons? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm sorry. Yeah, man. Big Jeff, man. But just a beat. He came in for us, made some huge plays, and that's definitely what the coaches and our GM wanted to see what he's going to do. But safety. You got Austin Johnson coming off the sideline making plays too. You know, that's a good front for us, man. But Jeffrey really stepped up. You know, we challenged him to make some plays, and he went out there, man, and cut that thing loose and opened up a lot of eyes.
Lastly, I know you missed a couple plays or so. You know, you got a little nicked up. Did you have to give your helmet to Evans, or did you just did he already have the headset in his helmet, I guess, and they just switched it off? Well, tell us, man, because, man, we're going to be switching people's helmets and their sweat all up in his head, right. Man, getting all these bumps on his head, man. Come on, man.
Hey, you know what? Before I tell that story, I got a high school story that of the same thing, kind of, but not communication. So we're in the high school playoffs. I think we might be in the quarterfinals, and it's my senior year. I'm out there, I'm making plays, and it's crunch time. We're in two-minute mode. And that my helmet gets bent up, my face mask gets halfway broken. So I have to get a helmet from the sideline. And back in the day, you know, we used to chain our mouthpiece to our helmet. So I'm like, dang, I need my mouthpiece to throw my helmet. So lo and behold, man, I'm out there one play. The next play comes up, I got somebody else's mouthpiece in my mouth. I'm like, oh,
my God. Man, Wesley, people are trying to eat breakfast here, dude.
I'm in the bottom of a pile making a tackle, and I'm not my mouthpiece up to it all. But yesterday, man, what you saw was actually I should have took a knee, but I was just, you know, I saw David coming in with the switch up of the helmet, so that we're allowed to have three backup communication helmets for linebackers and Rasun. We were able to get his backup helmet in. So that we didn't luckily have to switch helmets. We just changed helmets. So during the season, whoever wears the green dot, they'll have two helmets. And likewise, whoever the second green dot guy has two helmets too.
Okay, cool.
So no high school mouthpiece going on.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Wood, this is Coach Mack. Congrats, man.
Hey, that
was so big, and you know, I've been asked several times on several last night, and then also today. I can't remember, and I've been in a lot of National Football League games. I can't remember as dramatic a goal line stand to win a ball game with as many reversals and as many unusual things, not only officiating wise. But just right at the moment, coaching decision wise and everything that went on, what was the and I know Blaine has already asked you this question, but to me, what to this defensive football team, talk to me a little bit just about the mindset of this defensive football team that led to you guys being able to defend, as Byard said, every blade of grass.
Right. I was just about to say, you know, Coach Madison, coaching linebackers and coaching defensive players. It's all about that next blade of grass. You got to go out there. You got to fight. You got to give it your all. And I just remember in a huddle, I was talking to Kenny, just shouting it out. Like, hey, fellas, everything has happened for a reason. A 97-yard defensive touchdown. That happened for a reason. So at that time, we knew in our heads that, hey, we asked our offense to come out here and do their thing. We can't let them down. And it doesn't matter who we're up against. We got to let these guys know that, hey, we're going to stop you. And it doesn't matter where you at. You can be on the half-yard line or you can be on your own one-yard line. We're going to stop you. And that's just what that was right there, throwing your backup as a defense and bending but not breaking.
Wes, what about your change in role, you know, coming off the bench, so to speak? And it doesn't seem like your game has slipped at all. But is it a little bit different mindset when you're not starting?
Not at all. You know, my mindset is just to come every day to work, giving my all, you know, make sure my teammates are prepared and make sure myself as a professional is prepared too. Because, you know, in this game of football, man, when you get thrown out there on the football field, the last thing you want to do is be a backup and not hold it down and not do your job. But everybody has a season in their life, and, you know, you can't control, you can only control what you can control. And right now, that's just whenever I get the opportunity to go out there on the football, make sure I'm making plays.
Wesley, thank you so much for the time. Congrats on the win and the big play at the end yesterday. We appreciate it.
All right, thanks, man.
Keep laying that wood.
I'll see you, Wood. I'll see you out there.
All right, I'll take care.
All right, that is veteran linebacker Wesley Woodyard. The big strip at the end of Melvin Gordon led to a fumble recovery by Jarrell Casey and preserved the win. Coach Mack, our time goes fast.
That was great. You know what? I got much respect for National Football League players and guys like that, big reason why.
Thanks, man.
No doubt.
See you guys.
Do it again next week. It's Coach Mack, Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Get great health care coverage at an affordable price. You can let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. More on the Titans win. Also, the Monday morning facial not too far down the road. More Wake Up Zone after this. 104.